Blog Talk Radio.
Glory to God. Give praise to the King. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. Come on, put your hands together. Let's bless the Lord. Hallelujah.
Crossroad Broadcast. Well, the Crossroad Broadcast We are professional Christian counselors. We specialize in premarital counseling, marriage counseling, family issues, anger and rage, abuse, and neglect. Today here on the Crossroad broadcast, our topic will be grief. Many people have experienced grief in their lives. Many people have gone through grief, and we want to be able to speak with you today on the topic grief. There are so many people that need some counselor, some pastor, someone close, somebody that they can relate to, somebody that can feel what they're feeling, experience what they have experienced. I have some idea what they may be going through. Well, today here on this broadcast, we have Dr. June Normia. Dr. Normia is a certified Christian counselor who's going to be coming to you today to talk to you about the topic grief. But first of all, we're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. And if you have a friend, a neighbor that you feel that need to hear what is being said today on the topic grief, we want you to call them after our prayer and invite them to tune in to this broadcast. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you, we praise you. Dear God, we magnify your name. Lord God, we thank you for all that you have done and all, God, that you're going to do according to your word. We thank you, God, for being gracious and kind and merciful. We thank you for being true. We thank you, God, for being that living God that we can depend on, that we can relate to, one that has all power in his hand. Today, we thank you, God, for being great, for being the Alpha and Omega. Father, we thank you, God, for being the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the true and the living God. We do realize today, Jesus, that you have all power in your hand, and God, that you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask and above all that we thank. Now, Lord God, even as Dr. Normia comes today and discuss the topic grief, we ask you, Lord, to heal broken hearts, to bind up those wounds, to give them greater understanding of what is happening and what has about to happen in their lives and the lives of their family and the lives of their loved ones. Father God, we ask this in the name of Jesus, and we'll forever bless and praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Yes, you are listening to the Crossroad broadcast. I'm Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, another Christian counselor that's on this broadcast. And we want you to just relax, to maybe get a paper, get a pen, and let our speaker for today, who is Dr. June Normia, come to give you some important facts about grief that you will be able to store this away for yourself as well as help others and aid in the weeks to come. Yes, it could be someone that you know that really dear to you, and you need a grief counselor. You need somebody that will help you. Well, we are Christian counselors, and because we are Christian counselors, we have been born again. Our life has been changed. We have studied in this area. We want to be able to help you. At this time, we would like to welcome Dr. June Normia to the Crossroad broadcast. Dr. Normia.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy. Good evening, Radio Land. And I'd like to thank God for allowing me to come before you today talking about the topic of grief. And the definition of grief is deep sorrow, especially that caused by someone's death. But deep sorrow is not the only symptom, or it's not the only thing that you can use in your life considering being grief. A person can experience misery, sadness, anguish, distress, a heartache, a heartbreak, agony, torment, affliction, suffering, despair, and even much more than that. But grief is an emotion that people express differently. People have different temperaments that God has given each and every one of us individually at the time of our birth. And also, we will see that in a case that people will handle grief differently. A lot of times people try to dictate how a person should act based on another person have acted in the past, or a person they know have acted, even themselves have acted a certain way. And they think that is the way a person should act during the time of grief. Everybody is different, and people handle grief differently. And I'm going to talk about briefly about an example of people handling grief differently about two different ladies. One name is Mildred, and the other one name is Helen. And both of them are widows. Okay, they lived in the same neighborhood. They attended the same church. And they are 4 years apart in their age, and they are really close. And both of their husbands died within the past year. Okay, so Mildred's husband, he had cancer, and his illness was discovered about a year before his death. And Mildred, she devoted herself to caring for her husband. They had been married for more than 40 years. She would visit him the time when he was in a hospital. She would visit him every day. And when he was at home, she took her time and just cared for him as much as she could. She did the best she could do. She did it so much, and she put so much into taking care of him until she was exhausted. And she couldn't go on no longer doing that. So along with her children and family, they decided to let him return to the hospital. And that's where he spent his last days of his life there. But in a year of his illness, you know, the couple, Mildred and her husband, they talked about different things. They talked about death. They talked about heaven. They talked about their life together. And, you know, they talked about the things they regretted and pleasant memories they shared. Now, her husband knew that he was in the last stage of his life. And so what they was doing, they were just thinking and talking about things and reminiscing the time they had been together. So after they talked about all the things was going on, transpired during the time he's alive, and also at a time when he would come to see death, they talked about those things. They was expecting that. She was expecting him to die. So what happened was they talked about the upcoming funeral, that just how close it was in time, preparing themselves for that situation, for him going to be with the Lord. So they talked about the funeral and how Mildred would even cope as being a widow. Okay, that's how she did it with her husband. So Helen, her friend, her and her husband, they had no similar conversation. They didn't even, both of them, even though they went to the same church, and both of them were Christians, both couples, and they loved each other dearly, both couples. But Helen, she didn't have the same relationship with her husband. Mildred did. Okay, during a trip that they was on, Helen and her husband, they was on their way on a trip to Florida for a weekend, and he all of a sudden just collapsed in a restaurant, and he died right there. And on the way to the hospital, they pronounced him dead, told him they couldn't revive him. He was dead. He had a massive heart attack. And right then, Helen's life was transpired right then as being a widow right there. No longer was she even a wife anymore. She was a widow just suddenly, just like that, unexpectedly. And months later, the Helen and Mildred got together, and they both, you know, they continued to grieve. But Mildred, she seemed to be picking up life and, you know, and carrying on better and much stronger and faster than most people seen and how they judged that based on Helen did. And Helen, how she handled it, being such a shock to her, she became isolated. She didn't take time to be out and fellowship with people like she used to. She used to have her grandchildren over, and she changed her mind about that. She didn't have the spirit. She didn't feel in her spirit to do that. She didn't want to do that. She just was so burdened down with grief. And that goes to show you Helen's situation was so different from Mildred. Mildred was preparing for death. She was preparing for that. Her and her husband both talked about that. Helen had no way of knowing. Her husband had a heart attack all of a sudden. And then it caused her to just, like, be in a shock. They didn't get a chance to even discuss about talking about the future of death. because they didn't expect it to happen. So it took a drastic grasp on Helen more than it did for Mildred. So as both of them, like I said, that show they have people could enhance and gravitate grief differently. It all depends on the situation and the circumstances. So it's no right way, no wrong way to grieve. I once, know that a psychologist told a patient one time, he told one of the patients, she said she was grieving by her mother. He said, how long your mother had been passed? She said she'd been passed about 5 years ago. And he told her that she was being selfish. He said, why are you still grieving about your mother? What you miss about your mother? She said that I miss my mother. She would take me to the store. He said, oh, you just being selfish. You missed her because she would take you to the store, and now you have to find another way to go to the store. And I was like, wow. He said, when my father passed, he said, I grieved 15 minutes. It don't take but 15 minutes to grieve. So, but I just took that as like, you know, everybody's different. You know what I mean? He might not have the relationship with his father that she had with her mother. So we can't put a pinpoint and say how a person should be grieving, how long they should grieve, how long they shouldn't grieve, and they shouldn't cry. And also another young lady was on my job. When her father passed, she had bereavement days. She had days to be off from work, but she didn't come. She didn't stay home from work. She said she had to come to work to keep it off her mind. And she came to work, and she was able to function, you know, do her duties and her job performance as she was supposed to uphold herself. And then you have some people, they just like to be isolated, because grief is hit people differently and people handle it different. But one thing I can say about grief is universal. It is a method of handling grief that is unique and personal. It's the way a person handles it. That makes it so personal by each individual. And everybody will experience grief. But grief is a normal response to the loss of any significant person. It could be an object or an opportunity. And you'll be surprised a lot of things that people grieve over. And it just don't have to just be a death that transpires for a person to grieve. And it may sound minuke and it may sound elementary. It might not seem logical, but sometimes people will grieve for the retirement of a job. Just saying some things that cause people to grieve too. An amputation, a limb on their body, a departure of a child to a college. And it's true. Sometimes people have to go different places. The environment changed for them. Some people go to a state of being grieved about that situation because of the unknown and about different surroundings. And it could be something that seems so simple about even just be a pastor of another church, moving from a friendly neighborhood, going to somewhere different you're not even sure about, and you know you lived in a neighborhood when everybody was like family-oriented, and seeing even something as simple as like selling a car or losing a home or something of value possession, either the death of a pet or a plant. It sounds like that shouldn't be so, but in reality, people are different, and some people actually grieve over things, all the things that I'm saying, even more things that I'm not going to say. It's something as simple as a plant. People do actually grieve over things like that, or a pet, and even the loss of a game. And that just seems so fleshly and so worldly, but really, some people really go in and have physical problems because they get so attached to these games that go on, these athletic games, basketball, football, whatever it may be. And sometimes people actually lose their money because they gamble and they got their heart set on this certain team or person to display a certain way to cause them to win. And even if they don't even have money, sometimes people just get so attached to a sport or a person, a particular person playing in a sport, until when that person is defeated or that team loses a game, to that person actually go into a state or bereavement is a state of grief. And it does. It seems so simple, but grief is so serious and it affects people differently and things such as that. And health failures and even sometimes the loss of a person's appearance. Some people could grieve because even with life characteristics of a person just getting older, when a person see themselves maturing or getting older, they start to grieve because they don't want to lose that youthful look. And they start to grieve of that. And a lot of times, even grief, you know, mixed with happiness, it causes different things. Even a happy occasion calls people to grieve. Just say, like, or graduation from college and stuff, people sometimes they be so happy, and just the memory or just thinking about that person going to depart from there, even though it's a great occasion that they're graduating from college, that they going to be able to get their own business, or they graduate from high school and they're going to be going to college, and it's a good thing, it's a happy thing, but people grieve because they think of the detachment or the separation that's going to take place, and it causes people to grieve. But another thing, one thing about death, and this is prominent to be everybody will experience some form or fashion of death, personal, sometime in their lives, whether it be a close person or either could be a distant person too. But grief always causes a time where a person produces sadness and emptiness, and it indicates grief. Anytime when a person could display the sadness, and if you're empty about situation or circumstances, that indicate a sign of being grieved. It's a sign of grief. Like I even say, a person selling a car, they could be so attached to it, to that even bring grief to a person. But clearly, whenever a part of life is lost or taken away, there will be grief behind it. That can very well be grief. But the Bible talks about grief, too. It talks about grief, and there's nothing new with grief. It's just not happening now. We hear it even before Jesus came on the scene, they had grief. But even though the Bible talks about it in the Old Testament, you think about it, they talk about Jacob when he mourned over his son. His baby, his infant son had passed. He mourned today. And think about Joseph. He refused to be comforted, you know, when his son was gone, Joseph was gone from him, but during a certain time, he thought he was dead. He was grieving over it. And you think about David, the loss of his son, his a grown adult son. He grieved. Everybody, Jeremiah, he grieved about King Josiah. And even so, the 23rd Psalm tells us that the Lord, you know, he will keep us. He will be his presence will be with us. And he was even though we walk through the valley shadow of death, that he will be with us, and God will. The Bible says God will comfort us, his presence will be there with us. We have to learn that the word of God strengthens us. It's even when we are weary, when we go through sorrow, and we are who are Christians, we have that hope, even during the time of grief. But not saying that we can't grieve, because it's okay to grieve. Grief is healthy. It could be a positive thing because it's an emotion that all of us will have a time to even display it in some more way that we were more in some fashion enough. Because even Isaiah, he introduced us to the Messiah, a man of sorrow, that acquainted with grief, talking about Jesus. But Jesus, he was acquainted. He is touched by the feeling of our infirmities. He knew. He walked through this walk when he was on earth. He knew how it feels to be grieved, and he knew what it's like to be to feel pain and to be in agony. All the things we feel as though in grief, Jesus know all about it. God know how we feel when we go through that. Because in the New Testament, death and grief might be grouped into two categories. We're talking about grief. It could be categorized in two categories based on the New Testament. And each one of them deals with the influence of Jesus Christ. The first one, Christ has changed the meaning of grieving. And what does it mean by saying that is that there are many non-believers who grieve without any hope for the future. For them, death is the end of a relationship forever. And that's so true. A lot of people who have no hope, they're not non-believers. They feel like my loved one has gone. That's it. I have nothing else to live for. But we are a Christian. We know what the word of God says. We know now, even now, even the natural part of us, we know we will experience heartache, we will experience pain, and we will have time to grieve, but we know this is not the real us. We know that we are live forever, even when we aspire on this side, when we transition to that better place to be with God, we know we'll live eternally. We just know that the Bible says we have fallen asleep. That we know we call death sleep is what's being a Christian, and we have hope to look for. But that still doesn't stop the pain of our natural man while still feeling the hurt and the loss and the separation or detachment of whatever thing we are grieving about. But the Christian does not, the Christian don't have to believe and don't think like the non-believers that we don't have any hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, so we believe that God will bring Jesus back when we have a chance to get back to him, who all fell asleep just as Jesus died, and he rose again from the grave and is now sitting on the right hand of the Father, we have that same hope. We have that same thing to look forward to. But those non-believers don't have that. And when they don't believe in what the Bible says, when they don't know what the Word of God says, so they feel like this life now where they live, when they experience grief and when they experience without Christ or without knowing what the Word of God says, not believing the Word of God says, they feel like that's it, that's the end. But for the Christian, for us believers, we know that death is not the end of existence. It's the beginning of a new life, for an eternal life for us. And the one who believes in Christ knows that Christian will always be with the Lord, no matter what situation we may be going through with grief. Even physical death will still be present as long as the devil is allowed to have power of death. But because of the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we know that Christ has defeated death, and it's promised that the ones who live and believe in Christ will never die. And that is a promise to every believer. So even going through this time, and our natural man can experience the pain of being grieved of death, or just being either sadness, we know that we are not alone, because Jesus promised that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And we know even when we transpire, if we transfer this life to the next life, we know that we'll live forever. We know we'll be in the presence of the Lord. But this knowledge is comforting, but it does not eliminate the intense pain of grief and the end of solace. When, I mean, we experience, we lose a loved one, we're still going to feel that pain. And it's natural to do that. And it's healthy to do that, because God had already created and gave us that emotion to be able to have an outlet to express that, even when we're going through that. But even in Jesus' early ministry, he preached his sermon on the mount. He spoke about grieving, and he talked about blessings are the one who mourn. He said they shall be comforted. So even when you go through a time of mourning, you will be comforted. For example, when Lazarus had died, and it's for you people who read, the Christian who read their Bible. And if I might be speaking to a non-believer, what I'm talking about is in the Bible. You get your Bible and give your life to the Lord. You read these different things I'm talking about, because I'm only just paraphrasing what the Bible talks about. And it talks about even when Jesus, he is touched by the feelings of infirmity, even when Lazarus had died, and when his sister Mary was angry with him, because she told Jesus, she said, if you would have been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. But even Jesus, he was hurt. He had feelings. Lazarus and Mary, they was Jesus' friends, just like we have human friends. He had friends, and then he was hurt about the death of Lazarus, even though Mary, was arguing with him or fussing with him. She made a comment here saying, even though if you wouldn't have died, I mean, left my brother wouldn't have died, Jesus still, he grieved himself about that, but he still, he knew Lazarus was going to be resurrected. He was going to be able to bring him back to life for them. But in spite of that, he still felt the heart touch or being grieved, because that's the human side of him. He was human as well as he was divine. So he still felt what it's like to lose a loved one. That was his friend, and he felt that pain that we experience when we lose loved ones. But he still grieved. And also, even when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he even grieved during that time, and he left his disciples during that time, possibly because he might have been even grieving the more he didn't want them to see. But Jesus experienced grief. He just experienced sadness during times when he was walking on earth just like we was. But what causes grief? What different things that cause grief? Simply, grief, it comes because of something or someone of value has been lost. And the griever is faced with the emptiness and difficult task for readjusting. Just simple said, something that a person has before is lost, and they're having a hard time trying to readjust to that thing. That's when grief just come in. But nobody can say how long the mourner process will last. Nobody can say how long a person is going to grieve. Like I said, the psychiatrist, I heard him tell one of the patients that he grieved for 15 minutes when his father died, and she was at fault, and she had a problem saying she was selfish because she was still grieving over her mother who had passed 5 years. But nobody can tell you anybody and what's the proper time limit for a person to grieve. But for some, it takes only a few weeks or a few months. But widows shows that most need at least 3 to 4 years. This just a survey as statistics said, that the widows need at least 3 to 4 years to reach stability in their lives. That's talking about the widows. But then they also say that it's normal grief usually involves intense sorrow like pain and loneliness, anger, depression, physical symptoms and changes in interpersonal relationships. But how one grieves depends on personality. It depends on that individual background. It depends on their religious belief and the relationship with the deceased. The person who deceased depends on how their relationship was when it was alive and their cultural environment. So it's a lot of things ties in with a person that causes them to grieve a certain way. And you can have a person that can have a biological loved one that has deceased, but you might have that person might not even show, they'll show maybe little signs of grief, if they show any at all, and it all depends. It depends that person never was attached to that person, didn't have a good, solid relationship with the person, so they're not attached emotionally to that. So no one can say the time limit of how a person should grieve, because I just said different things, what caused a person to grieve depends on different things. And I just said like the background of their religious background and their belief in a relationship with a person. But anyway, at times, however, the grief, if abnormal, pathological, and complicated, this is the grief that intensified. I mean, it's the grief that stay around longer, and it could be denied of the situation that happened, that transpired of a person. A person could still be in denial physically in their mind, don't want to accept the passing or the problem of that person and what happened. That keeps the person that's grieving, to keep them in bondage. And that's not normal. They call that pathological grieving. And it keeps that person in bondage because they're not able to go on. They're not able to go on and live a life that they are called to live because it's not healthy when a person could be in a situation that they're grieving for a person. Like I say, time is not a limit, though, but you during that time, even the thing you can never forget about a person. But when you have a situation with a person that has been deceased for years and years and years and have dictate your life, you can't go on with your life. It's not healthy because that's not benefiting you at all, and you still here alive, not even able to function. But why some grief is normal and why some is pathological? Because you think some normal grief, and we call some pathological when it causes a person to be bound. Why is that called? One of them is because of prior anticipation. That means there is some evidence that grief is more difficult when the loss is unexpected. That same thing I tell you about in the story about Miss Heller. She didn't expect her husband to have a heart attack. She wasn't planning on that. They were just going on a nice vacation, and all of a sudden he had a heart attack, and that was a hard thing for the grab. So that was pathologic for her, and it was harder for her to deal with that situation. And earlier, like I said, it was easier for Miss Mildred to deal with her loss of her husband because they had been planning that. They seen it, that they know he was sick. They were looking forward to him, not looking forward, but they were looking forward in the death of going to transpire. So that it could be different like that. And they also have the different types of losses. But each type of loss appears to bring its own kind of suffering and reaction. In adult life, the death of a parent is most common type of bereavement. Then a loss is found in the best because most times you figure like even the parent, especially the parent have lived their life a full life and they're older, so you'll receive that better. It won't be as far as a pathological effect on you, but it'll be like a normal loss or grievement because of the death of a person. But a loss of a wife or a husband is much more difficult. You know, burdens that were previously shared by both of them, but now one person got to bear those burdens and those cares alone. And that could be very stressful. And even more if a loss of a child, the parents also feel guilty if a parent had lost a child because they feel like even if it wasn't their fault and something they could have prevented, they feel like they should have been there, just being that parent or something they should have done to be able to prevent that death from happening, even though there's nothing they could have done, there's nowhere they fault, but just that attachment the parents have by being the child. And I have heard a lot of people say the worst thing it could be is when a parent has to bury their child. Because a lot of times the child figure they'll be able to bury their parent because they'll have that life to live. But it's so sad. They say it's devastating when a parent has to bury their children. And another thing that caused it, it could be the circumstances accompanied by death. Because they say the death of a a reverent and respected leader can bring grief to thousands of people. And that is so true, depending on the circumstances. And I can remember the call to the death, I'm just saying, Michael Jackson, when he had died. It's just like they had it on TV for weeks and weeks, and his death called because people so attached to him, because people loved Michael Jackson, what he gave back to the people in the world, and people loved him. So when he died, it just meant a lot, and people just grieved and grieved all over the world for weeks and weeks until actually they had buried, until after they buried him, because it all depends. And it depends on how close the people is deceased or a person to call the person to be able to go on. Because the closer to the deceased or the sudden death of age of a person, sometimes it causes the grieving to be more. Because you can think of a little an infant, a baby that a woman just gave birth to a baby, the baby died of stillbirth, that could be very detrimental. Or either a person who has committed suicide. A person who committed suicide, that calls a way of people handling grief more detrimental and trying to hold on to that, like, what happened, why did it happen, and in their mind, pathological thinking, I could have been there, what did I do or what didn't I do, because that person I love wanted that person to go that way. And a lot of times, the surviving person, to say like a person could be inside of a car accident, a person driving a car, and a car could be in an accident, and people that was involved in an accident, someone that had caused to lose their life, and that person feeling themselves so grieved and feeling so guilty because of the accident, and that they carry on that grief with them, and that caused people to be able, circumstantial, comfortable with them. That's another circumstance that happened. And also, that and I've been hearing about so many accidents, people been getting hit by cars, and it's not, a lot of times they're saying it's not the driver's fault, that and charges would not be pressed against that person who was driving, but because the person who was driving, they affect them so bad because in their mind, in their psyche, they know that a life has been gone, and they might be able to sometimes not shake it, even though they're not charged with it and they're not guilty of that according to the law. But in their mind and into their heart, they feel so bad because they feel it's their fault because that person died. And even though it wasn't their fault, if the person might just say ran or walked out in front of the car. But people have the grieving situation they can't change. Them circumstances accompanied with death that people just can't, you know, seem to just go on. But with God, the presence of the Holy Ghost and with prayer, God will be able to give you, give the individual, give us that strength to go on, even in any situation that had caused bereavement, that had caused grief and for his death. It could be not even everything, this, like I said, this not concerning death that will cause grief. Anything, relocating, because a lot of times people can't deal with change. A lot of times people can't deal with change, even from one job to another time, another job. Even could be a better paying job. They feel like they get more money and be able to travel, go somewhere different. But just the change of it, it really sends some people into a frenzy. That people really literally get sick and grieve about that, about the unknown. They grieve about that, hoping, not knowing that things will work out better. And the thing about detachment, leaving what they did know, leaving the friends that they had, leaving the family, leaving their church family, everything, and then have to do it, and leaving that, just the detachment caused people to grieve, even in good situations. But like I said, grief is a healthy emotion that God has given each and every one of us. And sometime or another, we will grieve in some form or fashion for some situation. But God is able to be with us through those times of grief, whether it's through a person, place, or a thing, or object. Like I said before, people grieve over plants, the loss of a plant. And it sounds funny and strange, but this real facts. People grieve over pets. Animals, they get attached to animals and everything, and they, when they no longer have that, they grieve. But we know that God is with us and with the believer, even during the time of grief or bereavement, whatever it may be, God, Jesus promised he would never leave us nor forsake us. There is hope. And even for the unbeliever, God's grace is so good. He still reigns on the just as well as the unjust. And so even the non-believers, I mean, saying God still have his grace and his love upon his upon people, all people. And he's able to give you the strength to carry through any situation when it comes to grief. But like I said, but grief can also, and it is a healthy emotion that God has given each and every one of us. So today, I pray that you got something out. We talked about the topic of grief. We talked about what the Bible and grief had in common. And we also, briefly, I surfed over some of the cause of grief. It could be, like I say, the birth of a child, or birth defect, a diagnosis of infertility, a person finding out they can no longer have children. It could be loss of your independence, something that's like that. You used to be independent, but now you got to depend on somebody through because of an illness or an accident. Even it could be you just diagnosed with a chronic or terminal disease. But whatever it may be, just know that God cares, and he cares for you, not just about just your spiritual man. He's care about the whole man. And know that you could go to people. You go to your church family. You go to your Christian counselors. Go to your pastors, your people, your confidants, people that be able to give you encouraging words, the people to be able to strengthen you and get together and go together inside group, go to conferences, go to counseling, and people will lead you and be able to go with you through your walk of grief, whatever time or whatever thing it may be. God bless you, and back to you, Dr. McCoy.
We would like to thank Dr. June Narmiel for giving us a enlightened and a walk through the topic. Grief is such an important topic for all of us to recognize that grief is real, that it's real, that loss is real, and we have to be concerned about those people and there, as she had gone through the reasons, different causes why people are grieving because of loss. It could be, as she said, a parent, a child. It could be an animal, a plant, or anything such as that. And as she was speaking, I thought about some years ago when I was working in a certain place, and one of my coworkers, very nice person, but I was not aware how attached she was to her. She had this cat, and one morning she was came to work, and she was just so grieved. She was just so upset. She was she cried, you know, and because of the loss of that cat. It was just as if it was a human loss. But we have to be very careful. Point being is this. Sometimes people attachment to animals is more attached to animals than they are to human beings. Some people that have the attachment of some people that really need our help, our love, our understanding, and it's not a time to joke or to laugh or to be insensitive to them because of the fact that they have lost another life. Sometimes we are more sensitive to people that have lost a loved one, a human being, but we're not so sensitive to them that have lost something like a plant or an animal or whatever it may be. And being saying this because the Bible came to, the Word of God let us know that he came to seek and to save them the lost. And many of the people that are so attached to certain things like that, sometimes they don't really have a relationship with Jesus Christ and they don't really know him. But the fact being is that you could never really witness to that person if you are insensitive to the need of that need that they have. Then, whether it's a cat or a dog or whatever it may be, that we need to take the opportunity to pray with them because it's a natural hurt. It's something that they're going through that they need deliverance, they need the healing, and they need somebody to understand what it may be. And yes, you may not be so compassionate about an animal you may not be compassionate about a plan or whatever it may be, but when we find people that that's their whole life, you know, sometimes people that they're alone, they're widows, and they live by themselves, and they attach, some not married, they are single, never been married, and they have these animals, and, you know, you can't tell them that they're not important because this is a part of their life. And I do honor the Lord today for being able for Dr. June Norman to come and speak to you about grief. Grief is real. And I like to say that we have to be even more sensitive, understanding for many times when there are grief in a family, a grief with people, you know, we surround ourselves sometimes with them before the burial, before the last stage of the ceremony has been that has taken place. But then afterwards, you know, many people, they are in need of people to let them know that, hey, I still care. I didn't just care before a certain time and after the person had initially passed away, but I still care. I'm still concerned about you. I'm still praying for you. What can I do for you to make this transition easy? And even as you listen to the broadcast on today and on our next broadcast, Dr. Normil is going to come again, and she's going to speak about grief as well. She gave us some of what is grief, some of the causes of grief, what the Bible says of grief. So, but we want you to come on, grab some people and ask them to tune in on our next Crossroad broadcast as we again talk about grief. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you and praise you. We magnify your name. We lift your name up high. We give you all of the praise and glory for that which you have done and that which you're going to do according to your word. Lord, we thank you, God, today for our speaker, Dr. June Normil. We thank you, God, for our radio audience, God, that have listened to this broadcast on today. And God, some of them that are listening, God, they needed this, God, for them to see relief in their life. God, they needed God to make things better for them. And so I ask this in the name of Jesus, God, that you will touch them, and God, that you will heal broken hearts, that you will bind up those wounds, and God, that you will let them know, Father God, that they have hope, and that hope is in you, and God, that you are a healer, God, you are the deliverer, and God, that you can take away the pain, and God, Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, that you will be with them each and every day of their life if they allow you to be with them. Now, so at this time, we're getting ready to pray, and we pray that God will continue to bless and to keep you, and that his face will shine continuously upon you. Our Father, we just thank you. We praise you, God, even now, once again, for blessing all of those that are listening to this broadcast. And Father, we ask thee, God, to keep them ever before you, to bless them, and they're going in and they're coming out. And God, cause the transition, cause the loss of that one, cause the loss of that planet, the animals, God, or someone that's really, really close to them, that neighbor, God, that friend. Father, I ask you, Lord God, that you will help them through everything that they are going through and will go through. God, make it a time that they don't a time, Father God, that they can't handle it, but Lord, let them know, God, that you will be with them. And Father, we just thank you. Father, we praise thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. And if any of you are not saved today, Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. Word of God say, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, Word of God say that you shall be saved. So if there's anyone out there that is not saved, do not know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, I want you to know that God loves you and he wants you to be his. For he said, for the God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's you, whosoever that believeth in him shall not perish, that's me and you, that you can have eternal life. May God bless and keep you. May his face shine upon you. And we just bless you in the name of Jesus. And our prayer just continue to go out to you in the name of Jesus. Well, until next time, until Monday, this coming Monday, please tune in to the Crossroad broadcast with Dr. Mary Smith McCoy and Dr. June Norville. May God bless and keep you is our prayer.